Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Yes, you are listening to the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. What a joy that is, hearing that tune and kicking off a brand new fan show. I'm excited. You should be excited. This is finally the chance to shine that light on your team and have your say this next half an hour. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 70 20 558. Well, it is the first fan show, and when you think of fans, where else to go than Birmingham Fan TV? Speaking to James Jenkinson now. James, a real pleasure to have you on. You're someone I've chatted to before. We've got you on other fan shows, got you on for the opposition view. Now we get you on for the very own Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Firstly, Happy New Year, and how are you?
Happy New Year to yourself as well, mate. And thank you very much for having me on. Really looking forward to kicking this off now. As for the mood, I can't say I'm too great, but we keep right on.
We certainly do. We keep right on. Obviously, the benefit, James, of speaking to you now every week, we can dissect each performance, look to see what's coming up, and to sort of, you know, get into grips with the season as and when it happens. But as this is the first show, and we are the midway, halfway point of the season, and you kind of alluded to it there, what are you making of Birmingham's season so far?
Well, I would probably sum it up as a roller coaster. Again, I think Birmingham's existence is a roller coaster, to be honest. But this season's been no different. I think that it's been all hands on deck, all change again from the start of the season. Obviously, we've alluded to it before when I've been on previously on the show. The club is trying to go in a different direction this season. The transition we're trying to make to become this, well, more attractive style of play, should we say. The board don't want this negative, defensive, resolute team. They want an open attacking team. And at times we showed it earlier on in the season. Towards the October point, we looked like a team that could push for top half, top 10. And since the end of October, it's been nothing short of disastrous. I think we've won one game in 12. I think we've kept one clean sheet in 19 games. And the cup win on Saturday against Blackburn was the first win at home since October. So, yeah, I can't say my mood's been too bright over this festive period.
Yeah, but always nice to get through to that fourth round of the FA Cup. We'll come on to that in a little bit. But we were talking about on-the-field footballing matters. But obviously, Birmingham at the minute seems married and coupled up with news off the field. Obviously, losing Birmingham losses down after selling the ground. And now they're also at another points risk. Could be deducted more points after breaching financial rules by the EFL. What are you making of this, James?
In terms of what's going on off the field, I think it's a big mess. I think the one positive is that the outcome won't be a points deduction this time, thankfully, due to the fact that the breach is more to do with the plan that was set in place the end of last season for breach in the original FFP. So it's all a bit of a mess. But I think what it's highlighted is the naivety of the owners, the lack of understanding and the lack of leadership at the top of the club. Obviously, I know many a club obviously struggle with ownership. You know, we go to like Cholton, Portsmouth, teams like that. But you always find that these guys are teams that struggle financially as well. They don't have the backing. The owners don't put the money in. It's completely different at Blues because we've got the money. The guys over in China who are at the very top of this pyramid, they've got a wealth it almost seems like an endless pot of money. The amount that they've put into the club, I think, is 95 million since they took over in 2016. So a hefty chunk, but they just keep wasting the money. And obviously that's resulting in breaches of FFP and things like that. And obviously, like you said, the sale of the ground has helped to alleviate some of the losses, but it still doesn't mask I think, 33 million that we've lost again this financial period compared to 38 or 39 the previous year. So it's not good. It's really not good. And like you say, it seems to follow Birmingham City everywhere like a bad smell. So I don't think the fans ever see an end in sight, really, to it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, James, and I'm glad we've got half an hour each week to talk everything where the Blues are concerned, but as it's that first one, I feel like we need more than that. There's so many issues at the minute. You're talking of the owners, you know, pumping that money in, but obviously, has it been down to the recruitment, poor recruitment? It's just not working at the minute. And I want to take it back a little bit, because I know Blues' expectations are always high, but at the start of the season, the first one under Pep, not Guardiola, but Clotet, what were the expectations?
The expectations, I think, were so polar opposite for, depending on who you looked at. The board wanted playoffs. That was simple. That was set in stone. And to ask that of a manager that has no proven track record, clearly an intelligent guy, clearly a guy that knows his football and stuff, but no track record. The recruitment was, like you say, questionable, very scattergun. No real direction, and I think the fans mainly hoped for a reasonably comfortable season. I know, speaking from myself, I wanted somewhere in upper mid table, so if I could have, we could have got, you know, 12th, 11th, I'd have been so delighted with that, considering turbulence and the change. But like I said, the expectations from the board are so high, and they're just so unachievable with the philosophy and the way we've set out, and just the clear lack of any identity that the club's got at the minute.
Yeah, it's such a tricky one. You're saying they're lacking that identity. How do they sort of get that back, James? Where what could spark that into, you know, if you're feeling sort of just floating along rather having the identity that the Blues are so used to? And also, I say that, they have always had a strong identity, even from an outside of Birmingham perspective.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've always been this team that's dogged and resolute and never gives up. And like you say, has a never say die attitude. We've never been a pretty footballing team, much to my dislike at times, because I like watching good football. Everybody likes watching good football, let's be honest.
Yeah, everyone also likes winning games, though, James. People sometimes think that pretty football wins it all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's finding that balance, isn't it? It's finding that balance between playing some attractive football and winning games. Sometimes you need to know when to be resolute and to be strong and to simply sit in and defend. And we've seen that several times this season where we've either been winning or we've pulled it back from a losing position to draw and then to go on to lose again, because we're so open and we don't know when to say enough's enough and we'll shut up shop now. Whether that's down to the management, the mindset of the players, I don't know. But for me personally, and I know that a lot of fans share this now, is that there's got to be a change in the board, not the owners as such. The guys that are pumping the money in don't have the biggest say over what goes on here, but the guys that they've put in place. So Wan Don Ren and Edward Cheng, the two chaps that seem to head it over here, they've made so many mistakes over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, you look at Rowett, you look at Zola, Cottrell, Redknapp, they're the guys that keep making these mistakes. And for me, the first change that the club makes is with those two.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Obviously, changes may be needed behind the scenes as well. And you mentioned it, obviously, the money that the owners have spent and pumped into the club, and maybe, you know, the recruitment's been wrong, but it is the January transfer window. It is silly season. Always a difficult window to acquire the right players. What rumours and what news have you heard, maybe imminent arrivals?
Well, in terms of an imminent arrival, obviously over the season before any sort of talk of, breaches of any rules or any regulations, we've been linked with Naki Wells, obviously. I think I discussed that on here previously. We've been linked with, obviously, Dwight Gayle. Never seems to go away, even though I think it's highly unlikely. But one, strangely enough, obviously, after talk of financial problems and financial breaching again, a rumour crops up yesterday from a Romanian paper, fairly reputable, saying that the club had bid £10 million for Dennis Mann, I think Romanian under 21, international from Steaua Bucharest, I think. And you just think, where is this coming from? We know that the owners love to throw money at players, but obviously I think this one's a little bit far-fetched. And to sign another attacking midfield player would be crazy, especially for that money when the club's crying out for a number nine after not replacing Adams. So that's the first one, but no real concrete stuff as of yet. But it will be interesting to see what unfolds. I think the club, regardless, will go after and go and get a striker, but depending on who it is, I couldn't give you a name so far.
Yeah, it's always worrying, you know. You see players linked and fans always thirsty for new arrivals, transfer gossip. But when it is this window, James, there is a worry that sometimes, I don't want to say the bald react to fans and they know what position we need and they go after it and not necessarily a panic buy. And then it can set the club back further. You know, like you said, the recruitment's been wrong or it's been poor. Another wrong move and it costs you that little bit further, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. And the thing, January, like you said, it's such a tricky market to manoeuvre in. Prices sometimes get doubled for players that really aren't Absolutely. Worth the money. And we need to, obviously, I'm sure they know. You know, I think anybody with, you know, any common sense can see that the club is lacking in two key areas, a goalkeeper and a striker. Obviously, Lee Camp's come under criticism. Conal Truman, the young goalkeeper that's gone in, hasn't quite filled the boots that we needed, and obviously not replacing Adam. So we know what we need, but it's whether we can get the right player at the right price who's going to come in and make that difference. And I think, like I say, I don't want to be paying over the odds for a striker, you know, 15 million for Gale or whatever they wanted originally. We don't have that kind of money to be throwing around. Even 6 million for Wells, that I think we were quoted, that's a lot of money. Is he worth a punt? I think he's going to get you the goals. He showed that at QPR this season. But it worries me that I haven't heard a name yet and we're 10 days in and there's no real concrete evidence that we're getting someone at the minute. Obviously, that can change overnight. But yeah, I think usually by now you've got a name or a few names floating around that things could happen, and that does worry me.
Yeah, it's going to be a really interesting one. One that will play out over the Birmingham fan shows with me and you, James. I look forward to speaking to you each week. Then we can dissect the games and maybe, who knows, next Thursday we'll have a signing to talk about as well. James Jenkinson from Birmingham Fan TV. Well, I said we needed him to really give this Birmingham fan show a spice. And next we get to talk to Chris from Birmingham Fan TV also.
Love sports.
You're listening to the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. Remember, if you want to have your Birmingham say tonight, tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. This is the show where your team gets spoken about. Finally, you can air your views and share them with us. Well, we kicked it off with Birmingham Fan TV, hearing from James Jenkinson. And now I'm delighted to say Chris Pugh joins us now to have his say. Chris, thank you for joining us on the first Birmingham show. Firstly, I hope you will. But also, what are you making of Birmingham's season so far?
Yeah, firstly, thanks for having me on, guys. Happy New Year to you all. In terms of the season so far, you know, I think there was a lot of similarities between Gary Monk's start to last season, where you know, you could see that, especially at home, we were putting in performances, but just not being able to finish chances and get the results that some of the performances deserved. And then we went on a little run where things started going for us, things started clicking, and we were picking up victories, and you know, get that hope was there that we could have a decent season and carry the run on. But obviously, as the last 10 to 12 games have gone, I think we've won one in that time in the league, and we've slipped down the table, and you know, people are starting to look over their shoulders a little bit now.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a really strange championship season, you know, because even we're seeing Middlesbrough, they were down there, they were potentially going to get rid of Woodgate, a few wins there, right back up there. And it's the same for Birmingham, you know, one win, you maybe, oh, we're in the playoff contention, and one loss and you're straight back down there. But just on the season as a whole, it has been a bumpy ride. But can we expect any improvement in the second half of the season?
I think firstly, you know, it's dependent on the January transfer window, whether we make any moves in that. It's also dependent on you know, important players staying fit. I think it's no secret that during the tough run we've had, we haven't had Mark Roberts and Jake Clark-Salter available to us. Arguably our best two defenders this season, our best two centre halves. Dan Crowley has had a hamstring injury over the last few weeks, which has seen him in and out of the side. I think what I would say about this Blues side is that if your strongest 1 to 11 stays fit and plays every week, then I think we are more than capable of putting a run together similar to that of Middlesbrough, as you say. And if that was to be the case, maybe, you know, it could have started. If it would have started a month ago, maybe I'd say, you know, playoffs would still be a possibility. But I think if you offer Blues fans the 12th or 13th now with a decent run into the season and a decent end to the season, I think they'd probably take that now.
Well, Chris, we're kicking the Birmingham show off with a bang. It's definitely down to you and James, not down to me. You two are carrying me. You must have a strong back. But we've had a tweet into the studio, this time from Nathan, and he's saying, I think the Blues need a change at boardroom level. Wren and Edward are running us into the ground. #BCFC. What are you making of that tweet?
Yeah, I can't argue with, you know, Nathan's makes a really good point. James mentioned it earlier on that, you know, a lot of people are suggesting that it's an ownership issue at Blues. And I'm not sure I'll buy into ownership as per se, rather the people the owners are putting their trust in, you know, which like Nathan says, they're, Shandong Wren and Edward Cheng, they've been at the club for 3 years now, and every 3 months they seem to be throwing another catastrophe into the mix, and they don't seem to be learning from their mistakes. As for the owners, you really can't fault them. I mean, they've spent an awful lot of money, you know, to back Harry Redknapp. That didn't work, and Shandong Wren made that call very early to get rid of Redknapp. Gary Rowett and Gary Monk were on excellent runs that had the fans united, and they went, but none of these are ownership decisions. They're more board of director decisions. And I think, like James said, I echo his sentiments that if a change was made at boardroom level and the owners actually put their trust in the right people, I think the ownership that we have at the moment could take us far.
Yeah, it's just a really interesting one to see how maybe this plays out. Chris, also, what's it been like, just to change your pace, what's it been like for Birmingham fans, obviously sharing their ground with Coventry this year?
Yeah, I'll be honest, as a season ticket holder, I haven't really seen you know, a lot of it, a lot of issues. You know, we don't see Coventry, you know, Coventry City badges emblazoned all over the stadium or seats or anything like that. You know, I think there was a concern that Coventry fans would try and take it over as their own, if you like, and put a few badges around. But I haven't really seen any of that. It might be interesting in a couple of weeks if Coventry beat Bristol Rovers in the replay, because we've been drawn away to Bristol Rovers or Coventry. Which could see Blues being the away side at St Andrews, which could be a barrel of laughs. But yeah, I haven't really noticed a big outweigh of you know, I think the grounds held up well, which is testament to the groundsman at Blues. You know, the pitch still looks good considering it's played on every week, you know, with alternating weeks. So I think it's had a massive impact on the season.
Yeah, Chris, well, you already brought me on to my next question. You could face them in the cup after beating Blackburn on the weekend and you went down to 10 men, but that would be weird. Wouldn't it just be a typical football story? Birmingham plan, but they're playing at St Andrews, but they're in the away changing room.
It's written in the stars that we have to be drawn in that game. And I think, you know, a lot of people in the football world will be willing Coventry on just to see that play out, you know, Coventry versus Birmingham City, but, you know, it's landlords versus tenants, if you like. It's a weird situation. And I think, you know, under FA rules, I think it definitely will be that Blues will be in the away dressing room and that Blues will be the away side. So we'll only get like 15% allocation in the away end. So It'll be a surreal experience for certain.
Yeah, even that, you can just imagine the songs. Birmingham fans, they're in their own away end. Les Fat is just crazy, the storylines they write themselves. Obviously, though, Chris, before that game, it is Luton on the weekend. And what you're making of this contest? Because obviously, Luton shipping goals and struggling.
Yeah, it's similar to last week when we were at home to Wigan. It feels like a massive game, with the run that we're on. Obviously the game before Wigan, we lost 5-4 at home to Leeds, and I think that took a lot out of the players. I'm hoping that the win against Blackburn will have given the players a boost. You know, they were down to 10 men. They were under the cosh for the last 20-odd minutes, but we managed to get the result. Hopefully a turn of fortune, and we can take a lot of positivity to Luton. As you say, that they are they can see goals for fun, as we have done in the last 10 games. So it could be a really high scoring affair. But I think I had a quick look at Luton's next 6 games. I think 4 of the next 5 are against sides that are in the top 10. So they'll definitely be looking at this. Luton will be looking at this game as a game that they really need to win. You know, they find themselves at the bottom of the table now.
Yeah, it's kind of make or break for them, isn't it? You're right. But it's also a win at Birmingham. Just sees them push off and create a little bit more of a gap from that relegation zone and push into that top half, as we were saying. Well, for you, where will the game be won and lost? And what is your score prediction, Chris?
I think whichever side can stop the rut at the back, really. I think Jake Clark sort of came back for us against Blackburn. I'm hoping he stays fit. Both sides create chances. I think both sides will probably score goals. It too can defend better. I think, I'm hoping a little bit of creativity, a little bit of added flair from Blues, whether with the likes of Dan Crowley, Jefferson Montero as an impact sub. I think, we've got to be confident after the Blackburn game. I would like to see us go there and be positive and get a 2-1 win.
A 2-1 win, that would be perfect to kick off the fan shows. We can dissect that win. Obviously, Chris, I look forward to speaking to you every week. And James, Birmingham Fan TV, you made the Birmingham Fan Show this week. And you can always have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Just tweet us like Nathan did and we'll ask your questions. We'll put them to Chris. We'll put them to James. Well, this has been the Birmingham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. The very first one, as it will be now, it is a regular 8:30 to 9 every Thursday.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.